Hello and welcome to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm Oscar, FPL Focal.
Ah, so Oscar, game week 25 still in play. As we know, we've got two midweek matches between Arsenal and Everton, and we've got Liverpool and Wolves still to come. So fingers crossed for better performances from standout captain picks Saka and Salah. More on that a bit later on. But overall, it's been a bit of a disappointing, I think is the word I'd use, double game week for, well, certainly for those popular players that had two matches. But of course, that could all still change. And as usual, what we usually get in double game weeks in FPL is some standout performances from the often overlooked single game week players as well. So my first question to you, Oscar, is how did you get on? And did we all buy into the double game week hype a bit too much? What do you think?
Yeah, I certainly did. Yeah, I was taking a -8 this week. Obviously, I had a few players blanking, the likes of Bruno. Maybe that was a mistake. I was one of those that sold Kane for Darwin as well. So absolutely brutal to see.
Many have done that.
Yeah, it was brutal to see him not make the squad. But it was one of those, it was a combination move. It gave me some money to buy Salah and Trent. So jury's out. At the time of recording, we still got the Wednesday games, of course. So we'll have to see what happens there, whether that was a good move or not. How'd you get on?
I did okay. I was a little bit below par, though, I have to say. So I'm on 32 points currently, so a little bit below the average. And the same as you, I kind of loaded up my three Arsenal, obviously. I had Darwin in my team anyway, so didn't bring him in, but of course wasn't going to transfer him out ahead of a double game week, but moved some stuff around so that I could afford Mo Salah in midfield and captain him. Yeah, it was all a little bit kind of meh for the game week, I have to say. I mean, I got Ben White's clean sheet at the back, so I was happy with his 7-pointer. The Haaland points were obviously very welcome, although most FPL managers have got him. So yeah, I'm on 32 points and hoping for better going into the next set of games, certainly the Arsenal game and the Liverpool game in midweek, hoping for more for my Liverpool and Arsenal assets. So 32 points. How many points did you end up on?
I think I'm on the same. So I think 40, but okay. Then -8, so 32. Six players left to play. Yeah, that Bournemouth game in particular. I had Edison and Akanji in that one.
Oh, ouch.
I was out with friends in London and it was on in the background on the TV and I saw the goal go in and I had to put on a brave face. Absolutely brutal to see that wiped away, two clean sheets. Yeah, fine margins between a green and a red, but we'll see how Wednesday goes.
You were like that Twitter meme of the dog and the house on fire. This is fine. Everything's okay. I've just had my double Man City clean sheet wipeout. You were raging
exactly.
Inside. So we should give a quick shout out to Manchester United, of course, right? League Cup winners for 2023. So beating Newcastle 2-0 in the final yesterday. Obviously no game for either of those in FPL this game week. But what do you think about, just have a quick chat on Manchester United assets in particular, because a lot of FPL managers got rid of the likes of Bruno. I think you did it yourself, Oscar, right? And maybe even Rashford and Shaw and players like that. Are we now thinking about a plan to get them back in? Or what are you going to do with the likes of Bruno and Shaw and others that you might have taken out?
Yeah, it's a good point. And you're right. Yeah, I sold Bruno for Salah. I sold Shaw for Alexander-Arnold. So these are moves that I might come to regret. Later on, hopefully we'll talk about chip strategy, because I think there is an opportunity to pull the trigger early on the wildcard and get these players straight back in. Because they've been so good for us for so long that, yeah, it is at the back of my head. Is it a mistake? And of course, Liverpool and Man United play each other next week as well. So perhaps that's another excuse to consider an early wild card. You're a Liverpool fan. It's difficult to put your faith in them right now, especially in a game against Man United. Spirits will be high after the League Cup win.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's part of the reason I didn't go all out and sort of get rid of all my Manchester United assets, because not only is it the Liverpool game next for them, but then it's Southampton at home, who are obviously in dire straits themselves. So I guess on paper, you'd say, all right, well, I'll get rid of Bruno because he's not playing. And then we've got Anfield, right, next game week. And on paper, that's a red fixture, right? You'd say, okay, oh, that's difficult for Manchester United. But the amount of XGC that Liverpool can see, the amount of big chances that we give up. I mean, even against Newcastle, where we won 2-0 at St. James's a couple of weeks ago, you know, we conceded over 2 XG against 10 men. And against Palace, right? Palace were missing their top three scorers in their team and still managed to create chances. And Gehi and Anderson looked like, you know, threats from set pieces. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't take out any of my Manchester United players ahead of this blank game week for them because I thought, well, I'm going to want Bruno back for that Liverpool game and I'm going to want them back for that Southampton game. And all of a sudden, Bruno's looking like a reasonable differential for me for the next couple of weeks. So I kind of went into this game week with 10 players. I didn't go with the full 11. So I thought, right, I'm happy to accept a kind of a grey or a slight red arrow. I know I'm going to take a little bit of a hit here, but I've got the feeling that Bruno and others are going to repay the faith. And it pains me to say it, right, because I'm sitting here saying they're going to repay the faith against my team. But I've watched enough of Liverpool recently, despite the three clean sheets now back to back, still giving up a lot of XG, still giving up a lot of big chances. And more importantly, as you say, Oscar, I've watched a lot of Manchester United recently and they look very, very good. And they looked good again against Newcastle in the finals. So yeah, Manchester United assets will be back on the radar, I suspect.
Agreed, yeah. And this is it. It's the allure of the double game. It's going back to your point earlier. Were you Saka or Salah captain?
I was Salah captain. I brought Mo in for captaincy this week.
I was Mo as well. And this is it. It's the allure of the double game mix. You think, oh, they've got two games.
Definitely.
But Haaland was always going to do well against Bournemouth, wasn't he? It was always going to happen.
Any other game week, we would have just left it. I mean, we've done
No-brainer.
For most of the season, haven't we? We've just captained Haaland and Bournemouth. All right, it's an away game. But listen, I personally think, I don't know whether Bournemouth went into that game with a little bit of a, you know, this is a bit of a free hit. That's probably the wrong phrase to use on an FPL podcast, but it was a bit of a free hit for them, wasn't it? Okay, we're not expected to win. If we can get anything from the game, then good. I don't know whether they went into that game with enough belief, and City come into it. Phil Foden, who I thought was fantastic actually at the weekend, I think he was second for non-penalty XGI throughout the game week actually. So he was right up there alongside Danny Ings for top on non-penalty XGI. Very, very good. And of course, yeah, we would have just captained Haaland against Bournemouth, wouldn't we? That's just the sensible choice throughout this season. But yeah, same as most FPL managers, I got double game week fever, bought Mo in and went for the captaincy. Now, listen, that could still play out. It could still work for our Saka and Salah owners and captainers come midweek. But yeah, Haaland is very difficult to back against, isn't he?
I think he'll be my captain next week, yeah. So we'll have to see how Wednesday goes. But yeah, so far disappointing. The likes of Salah and Saka blanking, Odegaard blanking. And of course, as you say, Foden starting over Mahrez, KDB benched. A few frustrations like that. I feel for anyone who went for Cunha from Wolves. You know, he was a nice double gaming pick. And I saw him stretched off in the 59th minute as well.
Yeah.
So he didn't even get the extra appearance point there. So a few frustrations, but there's so much to look forward to coming ahead. We've got the Dublin 27, we've got the Dublin 29. These are the game weeks we can start looking at now and prepare for.
Yeah, just a quick conversation on Man City then before we move on, because you've touched on it there, you know, the likes of Mahrez getting the bench and then Foden coming in, etc. I mean, we saw this earlier on in the season where Foden was more or less a lock in that Pep team and in our FPL squads. And then he's almost kind of given him a bit of an extended mid-season break, right? There was a World Cup in the middle of it, right? But he's kind of given him quite a lot of time on the bench, a bit of time out of the team. Do you think that now is the time with the Champions League kicking back in, and we know how much Pep likes Mahrez in the Champions League, is now the time to go back on to Foden? Or is it too early to say? I mean, one good game against Bournemouth doesn't necessarily mean that we should all be jumping back on him. But if I were a Mahrez owner, I'd be a bit concerned about that performance from Foden at the weekend and whether he's going to get a bit more minutes from Mahrez going forward.
Yeah, I'd be worried as well. Yeah, and he can play down the right in Mahrez's position. He can play down the left in Grealish's. I was listening to Pep's comments in a recent presser, and from what he was saying, it sounded like he's competing primarily for that right wing spot. So
yeah,
I'm expecting rotation. It is a big gamble to go for Foden, I would say. I don't think I would do that. If anything, if I was looking to wildcard this week or next, I think I'd be looking to release Mahrez, and I don't think I'd be bringing in Foden either. I think moving forward from Man City, it's just Haaland, really. I can't think of anyone else I'd want. Edison's been disappointing. The defenders are hard to predict. De Bruyne's had the odd benching, so I think I'd actually swerve City entirely, apart from Haaland.
Yeah, yet the fixtures don't look too bad. I mean, I know it's Newcastle coming up next, but that is at the Etihad. Then it's Palace, West Ham. There's a game against Liverpool in there, Southampton. So yeah, on paper, you'd look at those fixtures and say they are investable. You'd want them, but it's difficult to know. And here we are again talking about the Pep Roulette on an FPL podcast. But when it comes to Champions League, when Europe kicks back in for the clubs that are in it, this is what we see. And I must admit, I've got currently Haaland in my team. I took out Stones and De Bruyne for Tarkowski and Mo Salah this week so that I could get on Salah captain. And yeah, I'm looking at it going, well, where would I go back into Man City? And I'm with you. I'm not sure that I'm going to be honest with you. I'm probably going to just stick with Haaland for now. Don't think I'm going to go anybody else ahead of that Newcastle game, because on paper, that's a difficult game. And then perhaps reassess in 27. But 27's a double game week for Brentford, Brighton, and a couple of others. So I'm going to be focusing on their players. So I think I'm going to be going just Haaland for a couple of weeks in City and probably not going to add to that.
So going back to the allure of the double game weeks then, in 27, do you think you'll be captain Haaland, or will you look for one of the double game week players, you know, the likes of Mitoma, Tony, March?
Is what you're saying, Oscar, can we learn the lessons from game week 25?
Have we learned anything? Yeah.
Have we learned our lessons, or are we going to get double game week fever again? I think we already know the answer. I'm going to get allured by the double game weeks again. Of course I am.
Yeah.
It's Crystal Palace away for Man City. So again, on paper, it's a little bit like the Bournemouth game.
It is, yeah.
Palace a little bit better defensively than Bournemouth, I'd suggest. But listen, they're in their own kind of little mini crisis at the minute under Patrick Vieira. They're struggling to get wins, struggling for goals, etc. But yeah, I've been looking at the Brentford double game week in 27, Everton and Southampton, looking at Brighton's one, Leeds and Crystal Palace, and going, yeah, I'm probably not going to learn my lesson from 25 and do exactly the same thing and captain somebody from them. What about you? Haaland captain in 27 or going for one of the double game weekers? Or is it too early to say?
So my current thinking is, you know, Darwin obviously could be a problem. As immediately as he's coming to the team, he might leave it. So I'm already considering a Darwin to Tony transfer in game week 26. Brentford have got a nice fixture in 26, as do Brighton, to be fair. So
I do.
I think there is the opportunity to bring in a Brighton or a Brentford player next game week. If all looks good, you know, in the next few days this week, no injury news, etc. And then, of course, in 27, they have that double game week. And then they've got another one in 29. So as I was saying earlier, it's an opportunity now to start bringing in players looking forward to future doubles.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And just to carry on with that double game week theme, let's have a quick conversation on Everton then. Another team that potentially some FPL managers might have got a little bit hyped for this game week with the double in play. I certainly bought in Tarkowski. And I think as most FPL managers did, right, I saw so many on Twitter and other places bringing in Tarko this week. For sure, still seems like their key goal threat, Everton. Look for him on every set piece and every corner, right? So I'm not regretting that move at all. But, you know, with the double game week this week and then some assurity of fixtures going forward, I still think he's an all right pick. What about those that bought in, I don't know, double Everton defence, if you went for Pickford, if you went in midfield and went for a Dwight McNeil, for example? There will be FPL managers that have got these assets now sitting in their team. Oscar, what do we, you know, did we make a mistake there in going all in on Everton? Did we get double game week fever there as well?
Yeah, I think it's too early to say. We know what Dyche brings to any team. He's brought in that defensive solidity. It was a shame not to get a clean sheet against Aston Villa. That was kind of the fixture we were looking towards, hoping for a clean sheet. I don't see it happening against Arsenal again, and obviously Everton away this time. I think they've got Forest next in game week 26, so that's quite a nice fixture. As you say, they play in game week 28 as well, which will become a blank game week for many teams after the FA Cup fixtures this week. So I think they'll be handy picks still, but of course we'll have to see how the FA Cup results go and what game week 28 looks like. If it's looking like a week where we're looking to scrape together six or seven players, then perhaps a decision to be made there on an early wild card, or maybe it's a week where we could free hit.
Yeah, I certainly feel for Dwight McNeil owners a little bit, because you've gone out on a bit of a limb there. You've gone for a bit of a punt in Dwight McNeil, and he was top for crosses amongst the game week, actually. Nobody put in more crosses than he did, which, given he's on set pieces, I guess you could understand. But that tells you a lot about Sean Dyche's mentality in that team and how he plans to attack. It's get it wide, get the ball into the box for the big men. Could have guessed that from a Sean Dyche sort of personality and strategy coming into Everton. It was also joint second for chances created amongst the game week as well. So Phil Foden, who we mentioned before, way out in front with seven chances created, one big chance created. But Dwight McNeil joint with Declan Rice and with Hamed Traore with four. So Dwight McNeil, a little bit unlucky not to plunder a few FPL points, given the amount of crosses he was putting in the box, the amount of set pieces he was taking, and the chances he created. So if you were a McNeil owner, if you took a punt on him in FPL, that is a little bit unlucky, I have to say. And maybe given the way that Sean Dyche is setting up that team to get crosses in the box, hit the big men, threat from set pieces with Tarko, with others, he might just be a hold, you know. I think you're right, Oscar. Everton players and those of us that bought in Tarkowski didn't just bring him in for this double game week. He's got the fixtures coming up and we know that they're not going to blank either. So he's going to be a very handy player to have around. The trouble with Dwight McNeil is that there are so many other good options in midfield. We're going to want to go to Brighton midfielders, for example. Even this game week, coming up against West Ham at home, then it's a good-looking double. And even after that, the fixtures look pretty good. And we know what De Zerbi ball looks like now that he's been there for a little while. It looks good. Matoma looks good. Solly March looks good. Even McAllister on penalties looking good as well, especially when he plays in that more advanced position. So having a Dwight McNeil in your team is going to take up one of those precious midfielder slots. And I wonder whether those that are on him, given that he blanked, unluckily in my opinion, given the underlying stats, might immediately move him on to a Brighton midfielder.
This was exactly why I decided against it. It was between Tarkowski and McNeil for me. And I looked at the two and I thought, I probably will keep hold of Tarkowski, but McNeil might leave my team as soon as I've brought him in. Because as you say, I'm looking at the likes of March or Matoma. I'll almost certainly have one of those come game week 27. Not sure which way yet, but yeah, when you're making these transfers, you kind of have to look further afield as well and not just get pulled in by the double game week, which is so easily done. I've made the mistake many, many times. Looking further afield, Tarkowski just made more sense to me. Yeah, as it's played out, nothing from either, but happy to keep hold. I'll probably even start Tarkowski against Forest next week.
I think you can absolutely do that. Let's have a look at a team that don't have a double game week in 27, but do have another one on the horizon in 29, I believe, which is Chelsea. So a bit of a, well, let's just call it a tough start for Graham Potter since he's been there at Chelsea. Not scoring enough goals, really lacking a number nine. I know Aubameyang got a bit of a cameo appearance, didn't he, against Spurs. But yeah, they feel a little bit in free fall for me at the minute. So I look at the fixtures and I go, well, Leeds at home, Leicester away, Everton and Villa at home, even Liverpool at home in 29 in that double game week. So what is that? They've got 1, 2, 3, 4 home games in the next 5. And even the away game is against Leicester in 27. So in any other time of the season or any other season, we'd be looking at, well, any team, frankly, that had 4 home games in the next 5 and going, well, we've got to invest in them because of home advantage. Can they make Stamford Bridge the fortress that it once was over the next few weeks, Oscar? Or are they in free fall? Should we just be avoiding their assets altogether?
Yeah, it's a tough ask. To be honest with you, I'm not considering any Chelsea assets right now. I've had Kepa since game week 17 and he's done well for me, but
yeah, he's done okay.
As you say, Chelsea just not doing it. So many poor results. Potter's under immense pressure. I can't see myself bringing any Chelsea assets. You know, maybe you could punt on Reece James. I think they've got a good fixture in 28. But beyond that, I don't think so. What about you?
I think I'm the same at the minute. I'm certainly not going to invest in them until I see a little bit of upturn in form. They just seem so, I don't know, the body language just wasn't right against Spurs. Obviously, we were watching that game in this household, and obviously the other half of FPL fan was very happy with the result. You know, I was speaking to a lot of Chelsea and Spurs fans in the lead up to that game, and this is a game that Chelsea always win, right? They always win at Spurs. I don't know what it is. It's a bit of a quirk of the season. Even the Spurs fans were kind of expecting to lose that game, and the Chelsea fans were kind of, well, we're not playing well, but at least we're going to Spurs next week. So that's a guaranteed, you know, win for us. So for them to go to Spurs and be outplayed, outgunned, outstrength, they were outbattled, frankly, in that midfield. And Spurs didn't seem to miss Bentancur in there. Skip came in and played a really good game, scored a fantastic goal, didn't he? Never going to hit one like that again, I don't think, Oliver Skip. They were just beaten soundly, I thought, Chelsea, and really didn't offer much in the game. So if you're on a Kepa, I think that's okay. And I am. He's a relatively good value goalkeeper. And we've seen in recent weeks how they can keep clean sheets, Chelsea. But going forward, you know, the likes of Enzo Fernandez and João Felix and Mudryk not getting the start again, only coming off the bench. Aubameyang, what's going on with this guy? Again, gets a little cameo performance when they really do need a number nine up there to put away some of the chances that these obviously very talented midfielders are creating. Yeah, I look at the fixtures on paper and say, yeah, I'd absolutely would want to invest, but I look at what I see on the pitch and go, no.
Agreed, yeah. I think it's a form over fixtures scenario. They're doing it at the back, you know, lots of clean sheets over the last 6 or so game weeks, but yeah, the goals aren't flowing. I think no team scored fewer goals since November, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, it's just not happening. But yeah, Spurs on the other hand, as you say, clean sheet.
Yeah.
It's just a shame that Tottenham almost certainly blank in 28. Again, we'll have to see how the FA Cup results go, but it looks incredibly likely. Because Forster, 3.9 mil, kept a clean sheet. It would have been a perfect enabler. But I think based on them almost certainly having that blank in 28, it'll have to be a swerve. Mm. And oddly, Perisic benched again. It's Davies who's come in there. You know, the Sessegnon injury, my first thought was, oh, I wonder if Perisic becomes an option. No one really tempting in the Spurs defence right now either.
Do you reckon? Because I've got my eye on Emerson Royale, you know, and there's a player that actually over the course of the season, I think there's a great season, but he seems to be settling into that side now. And I noticed he sort of got the 2 bonus points at the weekend as well. And he's suddenly become a bit of a key figure for Antonio Conte and Stellini in that Spurs side. Like you say, Ben Davis on the other side as well, worthy of conversation, no doubt. Seems to have a bit of a new lease of life, doesn't he, down that left-hand side? He's sort of unshackled from his central defensive duties and he's stuck him on the left-hand side and he's getting forward as much as he did, you know, a few seasons back when we had him in FPL and he was a bit more of an attacking asset. But Emerson Royale, I don't know what's happened to this guy, but certainly over the last sort of 2 or 3 games, not only has his defensive work improved, but his attacking output and his heat maps in terms of where he's getting on the pitch. And if you look at some of the underlying stats as well, I think he's worthy of consideration. It is a shame, like you say, because it's Wolves up next for them away. You know, Wolves don't exactly score tons of goals. Then Forest go to Spurs in 27. So that's a nice looking game, given Forest's away form. I think they've got potentially Southampton away in 28, like you say. Then it's Everton and Brighton. Again, same as Chelsea, the Spurs fixtures on paper look, I think, investable, right? If you haven't got Harry Kane, and I don't, I'm kind of looking at that thinking, how do I get back to him? Mm. But you're right, it's that fixture, isn't it? It's that 28 fixture. If that gets called off, and we will know more about what game week 28 looks like by the middle of this week, right? And that is one thing I guess we should say on the pod nice and quickly and early, is that actually we've got so much information to be gathered this week on the back of fixtures and FA Cup ties, et cetera, et cetera. We will know a lot more about what game week 28 and the ongoing FPL schedule looks like in a few days from now. So if you are considering, you know, rage transferring out some of these players that haven't performed for you in game week 25, or you've got a bit of a jerky knee, you want to make some transfers early, my advice would be hold on to those transfers. Wait to hear on news, on schedule updates over the week coming, because we'll know a lot more about whether Spurs in particular, going back to that conversation, play in 28. And if they do, then a route back to Kane for me is going to be quite important. But I will have one eye, I think, on Emerson Royale, who I think has been, well, if not a revelation, he has certainly improved over the last few weeks, let's put it that way.
And so just on that then, we're talking about chip strategy a bit here.
Yeah.
Let's say your plan is to free hit in game week 28. Looks like a nice week for it because it is expected to be a big blank game week. So Kane was actually the most sold player last game week. Should we be looking to bring him straight back in if, for example, your plan is to free hit in 28, in which case you don't have to worry about how those fixtures look? Is that a move we should be considering?
Yeah, I'm definitely considering it. I've had Kane in and out of my team, and when I think about it, that has been a kind of a key differentiator between the way that Sam has played the game, the other half of FPL family, how she's played the game and I've played the game with Harry over the last few weeks and months. You know what Sam's going to do as a Spurs fan, right? Kane's in the team and he stays there regardless. So it doesn't matter whether, you know, Salah in a double game week, she's gone without. You know, De Bruyne over the last few weeks, she's gone without because she's got her FPL pounds spent on Harry Kane. And unbelievable consistency from Harry.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Just every week, just banging him in. And if it wasn't for the fact that Haaland has been so good for us in FPL this season, I think, you know, Kane would be in every team and would be such a reliable captaincy choice every single week. I look at it now and I go, well, Wolves away, can he score? Absolutely. In 27, when everybody else is going to be, including me, I'll do the same, right? I'll be looking at Brentford and Brighton and I'll prioritise getting Ivan Toney, or I'll be looking maybe at Southampton Crystal Palace. You and I will be creating loads of content about the double game weekers. Well, Harry's got Forest at home. And you mentioned before about Haaland with Palace, right? The single game weekers in 27, I think are going to hurt us even more than the single game weekers have in 25, because we'll be so focused on Brentford, so focused on Brighton. And Harry Kane's got Forest at home. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And none of us, you know, depending on how the week goes this week and FA Cup fixtures go, if Spurs don't play in 28 and Harry Kane's not got a fixture against Southampton in 28, a lot of us will be looking to move off and certainly not to buy because we'll be free hitting in 28. And you're going to miss out on Harry Kane versus Forest in game week 27, where he is a genuine captaincy choice.
Agreed. And this is exactly it. So I'm looking at my team now. You talked about everyone selling Man United players, and I was one of those. I'm looking at my team and I've got the likes of Darwin, Salah, Trent up against Man United next. I've got no Kane. I'm looking at my team and thinking, maybe I could wildcard game week 27, get these players back like Kane. Because, you know, I've been pulled in by the double game week and I think I might regret selling Kane now. So I am considering it. And I think if you're listening, you've still got your wildcard. It is a week to consider pulling the trigger on the wildcard. If not 26, then 27. But I just think 26 makes the most sense because you can fix those problems in your team right now, such as not owning Kane or being loaded up on Liverpool, who have a tough game in 26. And of course, you can load up on Brentford and Brighton players who have that double in 27. That is confirmed. That's locked in. A nice looking double as well. And of course, they double in 29 as well. So it is on my mind. I'll have to see how this week's results go in the FA Cup, but it is firmly my thinking to pull the trigger on the wild card. And it is that time of the season now where if you've got the chips, you start looking at the state of play, what's coming up. And it is the time to start thinking about strategy, basically. And it's certainly an option to pull it this week, if not next. Perhaps you free hit in that blank game week 28 we've been talking about so much. And maybe even bench boost in 29. So that's, you know, three chips over the space of 3 or 4 weeks. That's the sort of thing that can turn a season around, propel you up the ranks, even if you're having a difficult season. I am so far. And I'm looking at that thinking it's absolutely an opportunity to spring myself further up the ranks again, back to where I was a few weeks ago.
You're absolutely right. And it's that time of the season where we've got blanks, we've got doubles. And if you've got chips in hand, you're definitely at an advantage, definitely. I must admit, I've still got all the chips that you mentioned. So the wild card, the bench boost, the free hit. So yeah, I feel like I'm in a reasonable position. And I had earmarked game week 28 for the free hit. That was absolutely where I was thinking of playing it. But of course, until we know the schedule fully, it's difficult to kind of commit to it. And we don't need to commit to it, right, until we know the schedule fully. But if there are, you know, tons of teams blanking, and maybe I've got, I don't know, four or five players or six maybe players in my FPL team, that is free hit territory. You're right, Oscar. I think, you know, I've got the wild card in hand. If I can use that strategically over the next couple of weeks and sort of muddle through game week 28, and I don't like to use that phrase, but if you can get sort of 10, 11 out in a game week where a lot of managers that don't hold the wild card and that maybe don't hold the free hit are going to struggle, then that enables you to hold the free hit or indeed the bench boost and play aggressively into 29, which we know is going to be another big double game week. I do like to play the free hit aggressively. I don't like to play it conservatively and just get 11 players out that ordinarily we probably wouldn't be picking in FPL, but we try and get 11 out in 28 just because there's not enough pool of players to pick from, frankly. So I kind of like the idea of holding it into 29 and maybe playing the wild card over the next couple of weeks is the right thing to do. Having held my Manchester United assets and not taken any points hits going into 25 into this game week, I sort of don't feel like I need to hit the wildcard button. I feel like I've got those three in play for the Liverpool and the Southampton game. But having no Harry Kane and not having any Brentford or any Brighton coming into the next couple of game weeks, yeah, it is on my mind as well. I have to say it is on my mind. I wasn't necessarily thinking of playing it, but I think that might be because I'd parked all thoughts of playing it before I know what the schedule is going to look like this week. And I wonder whether once the FA Cup's played out, once we've got a bit more of a feel for what the schedule is going to look like going forward, I think Thursday and Friday, maybe this week, my head will be full of chip conversation and I will be thinking about the wild card. I think you're probably right.
And you mentioned that you still got those three chips available. Of course, not everyone's in the same position. Some people have used their chips earlier on. Another strategy I do quite like is you could just use your transfers to build up to game week 28. Get as many players as you can. Like you said, if you end up getting 9 or 10 players out, that's fine in a blank game week. It's not the end of the world. Maybe there's players worth taking a -4 to get 11 out. That's what I did this week. Of course, you could still free hit in 29 if you just got that left, for example, or wild card. There's so many different ways you can approach it. Yeah, if you've used chips already, don't worry about it too much either.
Yeah, I think that's worthy of conversation, actually, because here you and I are sitting here going, oh, we've got all the chips, we've got this, we've got that, we've got loads of decisions to make. But there will be plenty of FPL managers that don't have those chips in play. So we've mentioned the Everton assets a little bit. We've spoken about Dwight McNeil. We've spoken about Tarkowski. Give me a feel on some of the other players that might be useful for those that haven't got the chips. And in particular, I want to give a shout out to Ollie Watkins. 5 in 5 now for him, for Aston Villa. Were it not for a bit of a Pickford worldy save at the weekend, could have had 2 from a nice header. And in 28, I think that fixture is locked in as far as I'm aware. Aston Villa versus Bournemouth at home. So here's a player that's bang on form, got the fixtures, got a game in 28. If you've not got your chips, Oscar, this is a player that you need to be thinking about bringing in, right? Ollie Watkins.
Yep. He's definitely the standout for me. It's a nice fixture in game week 28. Home to Bournemouth, 5 goals in 5 and an assist over that run. So he's definitely a standout. If you're not tripled up on Arsenal, they're guaranteed to play in game week 28 as well. So I quite like the look of Arsenal picks. I suppose most of us are tripled up already, but that's something worth considering. Newcastle also guaranteed to play in game week 28. We've been moving our Newcastle assets on because of the blank game week and so on. They've got Bruno Guimarães back from suspension now. He was a big miss. And they had conceded in those 3 games where he didn't play, I believe. So he's certainly in my Newcastle assets, in my thinking as well. Most of us have got Trippier. You know, he's been phenomenal, but perhaps you could get another defender like Botman. Maybe you could take a gamble on someone like Almiron, because they do play Nottingham Forest in game week 28. You know, it's not out of the question of him to get something there. Maybe if you're looking for a differential for 1 week in game week 28, you could go for someone like Isak. But that's another way of approaching these game weeks. You could dead-end your team, so to speak. So you picking a player that you only really want for that 1 week, game week 28. And then if you've got your wild card, you could use it in game week 29, get these players back out. So that's one way I quite like to play the game. I call it dead ending, for want of a better term. But yeah, you pick up a player you just want for 1 week and then you wild card them straight back out. And it's just like a 1 week punt, essentially.
Mm. Yeah, I do have a bit of a concern about Newcastle going forward. I agree with you. I think they're a good team to target if you haven't got the chips, because they do solve a lot of problems for you. But not great form in the league, is it? And I do wonder whether that League Cup defeat is going to have a bit of an impact on them. And, you know, nice, easy fixture to go into in game week 26, just a trip away to Man City, you know. So it's kind of like, haven't necessarily got the fixture there to get straight back into form. Okay, it's Wolves after that, and then Forest, and then another game against Manchester United. So some reasonable fixtures in there. But give me your thoughts on Newcastle's form then. They have missed, I think, Bruno Guimarães in the league when he's not been available. And there's a little bit of narrative as to whether it's Isak or Callum Wilson that's getting the start up front. Defensively, just started to concede the odd goal or two. Is the, not the pressure, but the kind of the constant race for the top four in a squad and in a team that's kind of not used to being in that sort of position at this stage of the season, is it starting to show? Are the cracks starting to show a little bit at Newcastle?
No, I think they'll turn it around. I do think Bruno Guimarães is, it was a 3-match suspension as well, which is massive. And he's such a key player for them in midfield. So I think that played a massive part in it. I think it largely boiled down to that. And he's back in the team now. Yeah, they'll be gutted about losing the final, but I do back them to turn it around. And it is a nice fixture in Game Week 28 against Nottingham Forest. So I think they're fine. I think they're long-term holds and they're absolutely in the top four race.
All right. Well, we talked a little bit about potential chip strategy and you've talked me into a wild card there, Oscar. I'll be thinking about that come Thursday, Friday this week when we're a bit clearer on the schedule. Give me your early thoughts on Game Week 26 then. So, of course, lots of football to be played this week, both in FA Cup, as we've mentioned. We've got two Premier League games still to go. So Saka and Salah, captainers, are going to be hoping for a bit more than what we saw at the weekend from those two assets. Give me your early thoughts ahead of Game Week 26, though, and players that you're going to be targeting and maybe transfers that you're looking to make.
Yeah, so I've got one eye on the Dublin 27 already. It's a couple of weeks away. Yeah. We've got Game Week 26 first, of course. But I've got my eye on that. So potentially Darwin could leave my team as soon as he's come in.
Has Darwin even kicked a ball for your FPL team yet? You brought him in and he's going to be straight back out.
He's not yet. Yeah, I'm looking at selling Darwin. It's very frustrating. There was no news pre-deadline on that injury. So it's an unfortunate one. You know, if you did pick him up, then don't beat yourself up too much. But I'm looking at Darwin to Tony because they've got a nice fixture in 26. And of course, the Dublin 27, where I'll likely captain him as well.
Nice. Okay.
With my fingers crossed, betting against Haaland.
Well, yeah, and here we are once again, not learning our lessons, Oscar, are we, as usual? I mean, Haaland, and who did we mention before? Was it your Manchester United, wasn't it? Oh no, Harry Kane, wasn't it? Kane at home to Forest. And actually, since I mentioned Manchester United, they've got Southampton at Old Trafford. So Spurs, Man United, Man City, even the Arsenal fixture against Fulham looks nice, right? So we're going to have, I think, lots of captaincy options for Game Week 27, as well as the likes of Tony and maybe even the Brighton midfielders Mitoma and Solly March, because they've shown some form recently with their double game week. I have to say, I am now considering the wildcard a bit more since this conversation with you, Oscar, but I'm looking at my front line as well going into 26 and thinking, well, I have got Darwin. Is that going to be a bit of an issue for me going forward? Particularly as I've kept Shaw, I've kept Fernandes and I've kept Rashford. So what does that tell you? That tells you that I'm afraid, as a Liverpool fan, United to come to Anfield and get something. So from that perspective, do I go against Salah and Darwin? Do I sell one of those? And I am thinking about it. I've also got Nketiah in my front line as well, which it would be a real shame for him to leave my team. But I kind of feel like given he didn't get the start at the weekend and Trossard has proven that he can now play in that false nine position. And by the way, he had played that before for Brighton. So when that team sheet was announced, I immediately thought, well, he's put Martinelli in the middle and he's put Trossard out wide. But in the first half, it was Trossard that played through the middle. Okay, switched that at halftime to immediately to good effect, right? Because Martinelli popped up with the goal, you know, shortly into the second half. But is suddenly Nketiah a bit of a rotation risk for me in that team? Is that a quick conversation about that, Oscar? Because you're an Arsenal fan. Yep. Can you tell me, you know, what's going on with Eddie? Do I sell him or do I keep him?
So Arteta said he'd been carrying a little injury the last few weeks. So taking that at face value, it might just be that. And I imagine he starts on Wednesday again.
Hope so.
Yeah, I mean, the wild card is the most powerful chip in the game. So I like to use it to put out fires, but also to kind of strategize. And it feels like an opportunity to that, just to fix players like Nketiah, who I am still worried about, even though it was reportedly just an injury. We've got Gabriel Jesus, who's working his way back into the team. Yeah. That could be a matter of weeks away. I think his estimated return is a week or two into March, so not far away. So I'd like to ideally move Nketiah on and have the likes of Ødegaard and Saka instead. Yeah, and there's other issues in the team like Darwin and so on. So I think Nketiah is fine for now, but there is that at the back of my head lingering that at some point, once Jesus is back, they will share minutes.
Yeah, I have to say, I am considering taking him out, not just because of the Trossard factor, because of the Jesus factor, as you quite rightly say. But in my team right now, I don't have Saka. I have Ødegaard and White and Nketiah. And I had so many fires to put out in my team going into Game Week 25 that I couldn't use my two free transfers to luxuriously move my Arsenal assets around. I just didn't have the transfers to do it. And I wasn't about to take massive hits to move Ødegaard and Nketiah around. However, watching that Arsenal game against Leicester and watching the XG mount up, And every time an Arsenal player got into the box, I was so fearful that there was a foul coming and therefore a Saka penalty. And he had one ruled out, I think, for a marginal offside by VAR. So it was an uncomfortable watch as a Saka non-owner, is what I'm going to say.
It was, yeah.
And going into the game against Everton in midweek, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be equally uncomfortable. So I don't like that. I don't like that. And going into 26, Bournemouth at home without him, I don't like it. So another reason to move Eddie Nketiah on from my perspective is that I then free up an Arsenal slot and I can go and get Saka in my midfield. And it's not like we haven't got any options up front, right? Nketiah to Tony looks like a move, and I've got a bit of money in the bank. That looks like a move that I will probably make. In doing so, solve the Nketiah issue and free up a spot potentially for Saka if I want him in game week 26.
I don't know if you know this as well, but Saka plays FPL, and interestingly, he captained Odegaard, not himself. He owns himself and Odegaard. So I was encouraged by that, to see him captain Odegaard, and I was getting my hopes up. You know, perhaps they do win that penalty and we see Saka insisting that Odegaard takes the penalty rather than Saka himself.
I'm sticking with Odegaard.
But wishful thinking.
Absolutely wishful thinking. I'm sticking with Odegaard. I honestly think he's a very, very talented player. And I think what he gives Arsenal in terms of leadership and captaincy qualities, he's so, so good. And the way he pulled out that 8-pointer the previous game week, who was that against? Was that against Villa, wasn't it, if I remember rightly? I think he only just picked up an assist, but still managed to get the 3 bonus points. Such was his influence on the game. Absolutely incredible. So give me your early thoughts on captaincy then for game week 26, just while we're wrapping up, Oscar. Going to be a difficult one, right? We've already spoken about how difficult it's going to be to pick a captain in game week 27, but game week 26, equally, you know, if you're going to bring in Ivan Toney, they've got Fulham at home, Brentford. If you want to go to Harry Kane, he's going to Molineux, which looks like a reasonable fixture. We've spoken about Arsenal at home to Bournemouth. That looks all right. And of course, Haaland is always going to be a captaincy option for us, although they've got a trickier looking game on paper against that Newcastle side, which, okay, in the last few weeks haven't looked quite so defensively astute, but over the course of the season have been fantastic defensively. So where are you going to go? What are you thinking?
Early thoughts are Haaland. Although I've talked about Newcastle turning it around, I think City win that. It's going to be a big game for City, so I fully expect Haaland to start. He should get good minutes. Some early thoughts are Haaland, but yeah, as you say, it's a nice fixture for Arsenal, home to Bournemouth. Bournemouth, I believe they're third worst over the season for expected goals conceded, you know, and that's off the back of a big loss to Man City last game week. I think it's going to be a comfortable win again for Arsenal, and they're playing at the Emirates. Mm. The other option is Kane, but yeah, my current thinking is Haaland, and then I'll probably vice-captain Odegaard or Nketiah. Fun fact for you here, I don't know if you knew this, but Saka was, of course, a really popular captain in game week 25, but this season, Saka has just one double-digit return, you know, where he scored 10 points or more. Mm. Odegaard has 6, and only Haaland has more than that. So I look at that and I think Odegaard's actually the more explosive asset. But of course, the appeal with Saka is that he's been more consistent. He's returned in more games. So yeah, like yourself, I don't own Saka, but I'm happy to have Odegaard. I don't know if I'll go there for captaincy, but he may be my vice-captain. Haaland captain. What do you think?
Yeah, a difficult one, isn't it? I think it is between those two. If I look at the City game, look at the Arsenal game, those probably going to be the games where I pick my captaincy. And yes, you're right to give a shout out to Harry Kane. We can look around the edges with Ivan Toney, maybe even Villa at home to Palace. But realistically, it's going to be those two. And I have to say, a couple of weeks ago, I decided to go against the Haaland captaincy. And there was a bit of a 50-50 choice between him and Rashford, if you remember rightly, a couple of weeks ago. And most FPL managers went Haaland. And I just felt it was right to go against it. I thought it was a good week to go against the Haaland captaincy and went with Rashford. And it paid off handsomely. I think I got like a 30, 40, maybe 50K FPL rank rise on the back of it. Now, listen, very uncomfortable watching Haaland hit the bar and then miss a high XG chance that he should have put away in that game week. But I just wonder whether, particularly if you're chasing in mini leagues, whether there are going to be some weeks over the next few game weeks where you could go against the tide. You could go against the Haaland captaincy. He is going to be very highly captained at home to Newcastle, no doubt about it. And at home, usually brings home the bacon, doesn't he? Usually gets the FPL points. But I just wonder whether if Bournemouth go into that Arsenal game with the same mentality that they went into that Man City game at the weekend, which, as we mentioned before, maybe they saw it as a bit of a free hit. If we get anything from the game, then great, but we're kind of expected to lose, so let's just go and do our best. If they take that mentality to the Emirates, I can see a few goals for Arsenal in the way that they're playing, right? They should have had more against Leicester. They racked up 4 against Aston Villa, very high XG at the minute, Arsenal. And I just feel like that game has got the potential to be a 3-4-5-0 in the way that maybe City dozen. I can see City beating Newcastle, but I just can't see Newcastle getting battered, right? The way that they've defended so far this season. If I put myself in the position to be lucky with my captaincy, maybe going against Haaland and maybe sticking it on a Saka, maybe an Odegaard, let's see, given what you just said, Oscar, I don't think it's too bad a week to go against Haaland again, you know. I can feel myself doing it.
Yeah, I agree with that analysis. I think the next few weeks, as you say, there are going to be alternative options available. And sometimes you have to be brave in FPL. You know, well played, those of you that went Rashford a few weeks back, like yourself, Lee. That was a brave decision and it paid off massively. And I look at the next few weeks and that's the case again. I agree that Arsenal should win by more than City win against Newcastle. So Nketiah, Odegaard, Saka, all options, definitely. And then in 27, I think Haaland will be popular again. But that's a week where the likes of Tony, March, Mitoma are all options, but they're double game week. But yeah, I agree. It's definitely the next few weeks, there are opportunities to be braver with captaincy. And it is my thinking. I think I will stick with Haaland this week, but in game week 27, it won't be Haaland.
Very interesting few game weeks coming up. Lots of doubles, few blanks, the schedule getting very difficult to navigate, and plenty of chips in play. It's going to be an interesting few weeks.
Agreed. As well as the two midweek matches from Game Week 25, this midweek we'll also see the FA Cup fifth round fixtures played. Once these matches have happened, managers will know who plays and who doesn't in Game Week 28. It looks set to be a big midweek for FPL managers. Kelly, Sam and Jules will be back with the FPL poll on Thursday this week, with a look at what the FA Cup results mean and look ahead to Game Week 26. See you later, guys.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.